This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Brian Ellison. Students at historically black colleges and universities across the country, including here in Missouri, opened their student loan accounts to check the outstanding balance due earlier this summer, and some got quite a surprise. The number was zero. Turns out many schools decided to take some of the billions of dollars that came their way from the federal government as part of the pandemic relief packages approved by Congress and use it to cancel student debts, a move with huge significance, but which points to some even bigger challenges that remain. Dr. LaTanya Collins-Smith is interim president of Harris Stowe State University in St. Louis, one of the schools that forgave student debt. And Dr. Collins-Smith, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before we talk about what happened this year with these federal funds, let's put this in context. How significant a problem is student debt right now?
Well, what we know is that most of the majority of students who are graduating from college in today's society graduate with student debt. And oftentimes that student debt either prevents them from walking into their rewarding career because it actually stands between them obtaining their transcripts and or their diploma from the university, or it actually prevents them from being able to walk into a, you know, most times you're thinking you have a college degree and you're wanting to walk into a rewarding career that will, you'll be able to reap some of the benefits from that career.
Right.
But most of the time, those individuals are not able to purchase homes. They're not able to purchase cars and those different type of things. And so those, they're really working to pay off student debt.
And is this a more significant problem in the African-American community than in other racial communities?
I would say for us, the majority of our students actually have those concerns. I have not compared it in comparison to PWIs, predominantly white institutions, but I would say for students who are attending historically black colleges and universities, this is a barrier.
Now, some of our listeners in Kansas City may not be as familiar with Harris Stowe over on the other side of the state. Remind us, tell us about the school. How many students do you have?
All right. Harris Stowe State University is the only HBCU located in the city of St. Louis. It is one of two HBCUs in the state of Missouri. We have a long history in education. However, we pride ourselves on being the most affordable bachelor's degree, not only in the St. Louis area, but in the state of Missouri. Our university is fully accredited. It's a four-year institution with over 50 majors, minors, and certificate programs, program options in education, business, and arts and sciences, including an emphasis on STEM.
And so even with the focus on providing an affordable education, obviously a lot of students still need to receive financial aid, right?
Absolutely.
And how much of that aid is loans that have to be repaid?
We have about 88 to 90% of our students are Pell eligible. And most times those students are also, those students who are Pell eligible also take out student loans.
Okay. So you've sort of laid out the point here that there's a serious problem with student debt in America that, and it's true, right, that data show black students take longer to pay off their debt than white students and have historically had more difficulty defaulting on those loans, right?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
So how did it come to be that Harris Stowe and a couple dozen other institutions started to put together this plan to forgive student debt?
So when COVID-19 happened, there was a push from the federal government for HSSU, well, actually for COVID-19 funds, for funding from CARES Act funding. And basically what Harris Stowe elected to do, we elected to develop the HSSU CARES grant in response to the financial debt some of our students had incurred during the COVID-19 pandemic. The amount that we allocated was $330,000 to help alleviate student debt, which we know can be an insurmountable burden for several university students. But what we discovered was we had students who were not enrolling for the fall semester because they had incurred this debt. And so what we wanted to do was to alleviate that debt that was incurred. And many of our students were saying they couldn't work, they weren't eligible, they weren't able to work because of COVID-19. They lost their jobs. As a result, they could not make payments towards their balances for the previous semester or the semesters and which was impacted by COVID-19.
Sure.
So we pledged to reduce the student account balances resulting from the activity that related to the 2020-2021 academic year. And those accounts then reflected a zero balance to enable students to focus on the important work of pursuing their education and continuing to persist through graduation.
Wow. So specifically, how many students were included?
Right now, we had about 344 students who were actually impacted by the $330,000.
And were all students eligible for this, regardless of their circumstances?
All students were eligible if they had a balance that was preventing them from registering for the fall semester.
Wow. So I wonder, did this actually eliminate all the student debt that these students are carrying?
No, it did not eliminate. There is this myth that it alleviated student loans, and that is not correct. We did not alleviate student loans. There's really, if students have incurred balances from student loans, that is something that they will deal with the federal government. There's programs that have been established by the federal government. What we eliminated was the debt that was owed to the university. Mm-hmm. So if a student had a previous balance from one of the semesters in 2020, spring 2020, fall 2020, and then spring 2021, we assisted our students with the balance that was owed to Harris Stowe.
A lot of colleges and universities around the country got these funds from the CARES Act. The vast majority of them did not spend it, forgiving the debt that students owed on tuition. If you hadn't spent these funds on this, what would they have been used for?
There's also, we spent some of the funds in order to improve our infrastructure as it relates to being able to assist our students with online learning and also virtual learning, basically making sure that all of our classrooms were equipped with technology in order to be able to deliver the courses in the delivery format in which we selected, which was online and virtual, and then some hybrid courses. So that is another way in which Harris Stowe utilized some of the CARES Act funding.
So let me ask you, students must have been super happy to get this news.
Students were extremely happy. We sent out a direct email to those students who were eligible and impacted by this. And immediately we began to receive return emails. And ironically, many of the students thought it was a hoax. And
it's like getting a call that you've won the lottery or something.
Exactly. And so we spent a majority of the time, the very first week, convincing students that it was not a hoax, that it was actually, it was real. And so we received several letters from parents, also from students, phone calls of gratitude, because many of them knew that if they didn't have this assistance, that they would probably have to more than likely sit out a semester or two or stop out in general.
Is there a particular student or two who comes to mind that you spoke with for whom this had a really significant impact?
I think of the very first student who had to spend the semester at home and could not return to campus. And one of the reasons they did not return to on-campus living was because they wanted to reduce the amount that they owed for that semester. The student was impacted by COVID in the sense that they did not get to work. Their employment was impacted by COVID. But not only that, the student lost several significant relatives due to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. In addition to losing a job, having to move off campus, the student also incurred financial responsibilities for funeral expenses. And so just to have a conversation with that student just about everything that the student had endured as a result of COVID-19, and just knowing that you could provide just, you know, a small bit of relief for that student. And what was very significant for me is the fact that the student said, I did not know how I was going to finish college. Yeah. And this happens to be the student's very last semester. I did not know how I was going to finish college. And I know that that was one of my grandmother's wishes. And her grandmother passed away because of COVID-19. And so just knowing that you could alleviate just a small bit of pressure from a student and everything that they're going through was amazing for us. And that,
yeah,
cases like that just kind of helped us to realize that we did the right thing.
You know, Dr. Colin Smith, hearing you talk about that, it seems like this is really changing the students' lives. I mean, and thinking about the fact that you're not just forgiving some payments for one semester, but that's money they're not borrowing, money that's not going to go right with them as debt and accrue interest and follow them out into the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the other, we also, with the CARES Act funding, when we originally received the CARES Act funding, we had small grants that we offered to all of our students who were enrolled in the university at the time COVID happened. So those students who were enrolled in fall 20 and also in spring 2021, if they were impacted by COVID in any way, they could apply for a grant, which was not associated with their tuition at all. It was basically a grant that would help the students to be able to continue to persist. What we knew is that a lot of our students, they're Pell eligible, they're first generation, they're low income, and they're also having to work outside of attending school. So the grant that students were eligible for in fall 20 was for $1,000. And then in the spring of 2021, students could apply for a grant for $1,200. So in addition to the $330,000 assisting students who had balances, there were other opportunities that we used for the CARES Act funding to still be able to assist students who were really going through during the pandemic.
You know, it occurs to me that this is obviously very beneficial to the students who had these balances wiped off their accounts. Are there benefits to the university as well, benefits in the short term or the long term to have these students be in this different situation?
Well, absolutely. It actually hopefully prevents students from defaulting on their loans, which actually impacts the university. It also helps us to be able to allow students to continue to persist to graduation. What we know, if our students have a disruption in their education or a disruption in a semester, what we know is more than likely that student will probably stop out and not complete college in 4 or 5 or 6 years. Oftentimes, if you stop out, you may decide later in life to come back. Mm-hmm. So what we want is to make sure that our students, if you start, we want you to finish. It's not enough for us to have you to come and start and take a couple of classes or a couple of semesters or a couple of years and then stop out and then you don't obtain a degree. And What we also know is it's already a struggle for students who obtain a degree financially. So just imagine if you've started some college, you've incurred this debt, and then you don't obtain a degree. So that really puts you in a pickle. So what we want to make sure is that our students persist to graduation.
And then, so besides retention, there's also recruitment, right? This is not bad publicity for the school.
No, it's not bad publicity for the school. However, our hope is that COVID-19 won't be around for much longer. And so we don't know what this will, you know, what impact it will have. So one of the things that we did do in addition, when we look at long-term implications for the university and long-term benefits, we did introduce a program for our students where students can take 15 credit hours for the price of 12 credit hours. Hmm. And so we're wanting students to take a full load, which is 15 credit hours each semester, so that they can persist and complete college in 4 years. And so that is one of the programs that we have implemented. We are now advertising that as a recruitment tool for students, incoming students, and also for our current students. They can also benefit from taking 15 credit hours for the cost of 12.
Talking with Dr. LaTonya Collins-Smith, Interim President at Harris Stowe State University here on KCUR's Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison. Dr. Collins-Smith, Harris Stowe was one of the two historically black colleges and universities in Missouri, as you mentioned. Lincoln University in Jefferson City is the other. Both schools were applied some of their CARES funding to this forgiveness of debt owed to the school. I guess I'm curious how important it was that several of these of historically black colleges worked together to do this. What does it say that there was sort of this joint effort, even among schools that might in some circumstances be competing for the same students?
You know, I think it was very important because many of us, many HBCUs are committed to serving the exact same population and demographic of student. And so we elected to help our existing students who could not persist because of a balance. Some of the other HBCUs elected to assist their graduating seniors. So there are seniors who actually had a balance that was preventing them from graduating or not necessarily completing their coursework, but the balances were preventing them from providing proof to employers that they had indeed graduated. So there is a number of different ways in which HBCUs across the nation decided to use CARES Act funding. It just so happened that we saw the greatest need was our students who were needing to persist.
So you mentioned that this is a persistent problem, that this is not the only year. Certainly the pandemic exacerbated the situation, but students Absolutely. Have a perennial challenge with the burden of student debt and student loans as well. Was this a one-time thing, or do you see other opportunities in the future to offer similar relief to students?
Well, at this point, it is from the CARES Act funding, it probably was a one-time opportunity. However, it has forced us with our in-house fundraising issues, with our in-house fundraising, to really think outside the box about how we can ask funders to be able to support this effort ongoing.
Do you have ideas for what else the university can do?
Absolutely. As we think, in addition to the cost of 15 credit hours, the same as 12 credit hours, that is one of our ways in order to help alleviate debt for students. The other thing is definitely approaching some of our donors, to ask them if they would be willing to assist students who have balances. And so those are some of the things that we are actively doing right now.
Do state and federal officials, you think, need to do more to address these student debt loads? Obviously, as you said, there probably won't be more CARES Act funding, but should there be more funding from government to help with this?
I think over time, we probably, the local, state, and federal officials should probably take a look at the cost of higher education. I think definitely taking a look at that, evaluating it, and really coming up with some different programming and formulas for the cost of higher education. I do think that would be beneficial for all students. When we talk about equity across the board, mm-hmm. It would alleviate, definitely taking a look at alleviating the who's and the big I's and the little U's. Yeah. And so I think definitely there should be some discussion.
How important is financial literacy at this point? Do you feel like students are coming to you with a depth of understanding of what their financial future looks like? Are they able to put together the pieces that if I'm incurring this much debt now, I'm going to have to make this much money and that's going to be a challenge?
I think financial literacy is very, very important. Definitely, particularly for the demographic of students that we serve, first generation, low income, and many of them have not had the opportunity to really understand financial literacy and what that means. And so we here at Herrick Stowe, we began as early as freshman year in our new student orientation course, really doing the math and helping students to understand what that looks like as far as financial literacy, default prevention, all of those different things. And so throughout the time that our students are here, we are really trying to enforce and help them to really understand and educate them about financial literacy, taking out less loans, how to apply for scholarships versus loans, how to apply for grants versus loans, and those type of things. And so we are really committed to trying to educate our students very earlier on about what financial literacy is, partnering with community partners, banks in the community, credit unions who come over and they actually do workshops and presentations for our students as well.
Before we let you go, Dr. Colin Smith, I want to ask about being the leader of a historically Black university in Missouri at this moment in history. I think there are people who question the need for predominantly Black higher educational institutions. There are people who don't understand why they still exist. What do you say to talk about the importance of this work that you're doing?
You know, I think it is very significant. I think there is a continued need for historically Black colleges and universities. There is a different culture at a HBCU. While I did not attend an HBCU, I attended two PWIs, three actually here in the state of Missouri. I think there's a significant level of community here. There is also a greater level of support for students and understanding and a sense of camaraderie that helps students to be able to acclimate and really begin to see themselves in the larger world. Mm-hmm. And so I think we do a really good job of preparing students for careers in the global society and to be leaders in the global society. And also, I think it's very significant as we talk about equity and diversity and inclusion, I think it's going to be very, very important for companies and corporations as we move forward to be able to have a go-to place where they can recruit students of color, employees of color as well.
Yeah. And you've been interim president since June. How's the gig going?
It's going well. The great thing about it, I have been around Harrah-Stowe for 11 years. I have been here working, starting in counseling services, and switched over to academic affairs about 6 years ago. And so it is actually going well. We're rocking and rolling, and we are really making sure that Harrah-Stowe is involved in the community and that we are really preparing students to work in our region.
Well, best wishes to you as your interim presidency continues. That's Dr. LaTanya Collins-Smith. She's also provost and vice president for academic affairs at Harrah-Stowe State University. Dr. Collins-Smith, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.